In the midst of these challenging times in our nation and our world, as we face a pandemic, as it's called, what does God desire? What does God desire in our daily walk? What does God desire for us? First of all, certainly He desires for salvation of the lost, and He desires His people to be holy.
I just want to share what's on my heart with you today. Over New Year's, I took the seniors, our youth group, to Passion 2020 Atlanta. And if you don't know what that is, it's for college kids to come together, to worship God, to be challenged and encouraged, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to when we go out into this world, that we can continue to reach people for Christ. And so 65,000 people gathered in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium's college kids to worship as a new decade. And it was just unbelievable to be a part of something so powerful and so strong. And it was during this time in my life when we were up there is when God gave me the vision for my life for 2020 and for the vision for the youth ministry. I was sitting there in the midst of 65,000 people, and I felt like I was the only one in the room. You know, sometimes God deals with us that way, but it was just a powerful how I heard and felt God speak to me in that moment in the midst of everyone that was there. And this question kept coming to my mind as I was sitting there and they were preaching and they were worshiping. All this just godness was just happening was, do I have a true desire to be holy? Do I have a true passionate desire to be holy? Now, I'm not just talking about being a good person or just doing the right things. I'm talking about something that is much deeper than that, something that we're really going to have to work towards, something that we're going to have to give of ourselves and really focus on God. And it's about being and having the absolute desire to live holy before God, be holy and blameless before God. And so I was sitting there, and I was just weeping, and I was just crying as the Lord was just speaking to me. You can see this is, when the Lord deals with you, it's just sweet. It's just powerful. And I was sitting there, and the Lord was just dealing with me, and He was just asking me this question, do you have the desire to be holy? Do you have this desire to be holy? I can say for my life that I really do have the desire to live absolutely holy before God. I don't stand here and say this to you all, well, look at him, that's good. No, I sit there and tell you, I stand here and tell you that today because I don't live an absolutely holy life. There are areas of my life that are not perfectly lined up with God's word. So therefore, as Christians, as believers, God desires for you and for me and for this world to live absolutely holy before God. To live absolutely holy before him. You know, I told the teens that this year, you know, our theme is to be holy, to live holy, to go beyond our normal thoughts of what we think is right or wrong and to live absolutely holy before God. I told the teens that this is going to be a year for tough preaching and hard living. And the reason I say that is because it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of us giving of ourselves to arrive at the point to where hopefully when we come to the December 2020 that we have a true passionate desire to live holy for God. But for us to understand what holy really means, we must look at the definition of holy or holiness. And the definition of holy means that to be dedicated or consecrated to God. And that word consecrated, help me out, means to declare sacred. If you have a desire to be holy and want to live holy before God, it is sacred. God desires it for us. And so to be holy means that we have fully dedicated our heart and our life to God in every area of our life. Now that can be difficult because there's areas in our life to where, you know, we feel like we're doing pretty good in. But there's other areas in our life where we just fall short every single day. This holy is about everything falling under that is that you and me and everyone on this earth has a true passionate desire to every area in your life that fully falls under being holy. So within this, what has to happen? We have to be fully devoted to God. We must fully trust Him. Now, even in the midst of this virus and this chaos that's sweeping in our world, we must know that we must trust Him. That's why Pastor Tim said earlier that nothing, the decisions of services and Easter play was not done out of fear. It was really just out of making sure that we all stay safe. That's it. And so we fully trust Him. We fully love Him unconditionally. And that we have a desire to walk the path daily with Jesus. And that path will lead us into full holiness. You know, I think there are areas in our life that we struggle with giving to God. And I think one of them is our friendships. And there's a lot of things I could talk about today, but I really want to talk about our friendships. You know, some of us have terrible friends. Some of us are terrible friends to each other. And I can honestly say that over my entire life so far, I'm going to be 30 this year, which is crazy. I just feel like I just turned 20. Is that I can honestly say that, you know, I have just a handful of friends that are actually my best friends. I got friends all over, but as far as my true best friends, I'm talking about those friends who will be there for you at the drop of a hat. I'm talking about those friends who will tell you the truth even when it hurts. I'm talking about dear friends to our hearts, because let's be honest, real friendship is hard to come by this day and time. Why? I think because a lot of people are just fake. A lot of people are just fake sometimes. But a lot of times we or our friends, they change and they mold to the environment or the people around them. And a lot of times we don't even know who we are or who they are. And so today we're talking about friendship. I think a lot of times we don't have good friends because we probably don't even know what a good friendship looks like. We don't know what a good friendship looks like. And that's why I'm glad to be able to share this scripture with you here in just a moment. It's John chapter 13. You can turn there, verses 1 through 11. But, you know, there are friendships all throughout God's Word. You know, the four Gospels were accounts of Jesus' life written by His closest friends. They were the closest friends. And we know that there's no greater friend than Jesus. Listen to these words here today. John chapter 13, verse 1 through 11. Let's stand today. I think we got on the screen behind you. This is a piece of scripture that should not take us by surprise. It's something that I'm sure we've all heard. This is Jesus washing His disciples' feet. Listen to these words. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The devil had already put it in his heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, listen, got up from the table, took off His outer robe and tied a towel around Himself. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel that was tied around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who was around Him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are You going to wash My feet? Jesus answered, You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand. Excuse me. Peter said to Him, You will never wash My feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no share with Me. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean through not all of you. Listen, last verse. For He knew who was to betray Him. For this reason, He said, not all of you are clean. You may be seated. I want us to understand that back in this day and time, that people's feet were nasty. You think your feet's rough? These people's feet were rough. They had to walk everywhere they went. And so their feet were very, very nasty. But that's what makes this story so strange, is that the job of washing someone's feet was reserved for a servant. It's something that your friends normally wouldn't do. And especially someone like Jesus, who is so pristine and so high, who ranks higher than everyone. He is highly important. And so we have to ask ourselves this question: why would Jesus do something like this? Why would Jesus wash his disciples' feet? You know, if Jesus was God in human form, then nobody ranks higher than him. Amen? Nobody ranks higher than Jesus. And so we might think to ourselves, shouldn't the disciples be washing Jesus' feet? Because when it comes to friendships, we all tend to focus on what we're not getting out of our friendships. We all tend to focus on that. So in other words, we get disappointed with our friends because we're not looking at what our friends are not doing for us. We're looking at what our friends are not doing for us, but rather than giving them the benefit of the doubt. A lot of times, it's in our nature. We love to talk about people behind their back. We love to gossip. And sometimes we do that to even our closest friends. We begin to gossip. And a lot of times our friendships end in chaos. They end in struggles, they end in difficulties. And it's always their fault. It's never our fault, right? It's always their fault. But my encouragement to you today is it does not have to be that way. But John, the book of John, piece of scripture we read here, John, probably being Jesus' closest friend, writes about a serious moment in Jesus' life. And I mean, you have to understand what's going here. These guys did life with Jesus. They went everywhere Jesus did, and they wrote accounts to what they saw Jesus do with their own eyes. And so they were with Jesus a lot. They were with Jesus a lot. But the story that John writes is right before Jesus was about to be taken to be arrested and sentenced to die on the cross for you and for me. He's about to be taken to be sentenced and die on the cross. And while his disciples had no idea what was about to happen, Jesus knew. Jesus knew what was exactly about to happen. See, this table I got set up here today is to help us give a visual of what is going on. And so I want you to imagine me for a moment. Jesus is literally about to be taken, to be crucified, to die on a cross. And I can't imagine what was going through his mind. And I just can't imagine. It just boggles me. And so Jesus could have been having all these kind of mindsets, but that's not what he did. He gathered his friends together, his disciples together to have one last meal with them. Not about you. When I get antsy, I can't even eat. I mean, there's no way I can eat a meal knowing I'm fixing to be crucified. And so I want us to understand this, that this had to be very difficult for him. Had to be very difficult for Jesus. But you know, some of the disciples there at that table even doubted Jesus. Some of Jesus' closest friends denied him, denied of even knowing him. You know, Jesus sitting at the table with all his friends, all his disciples, he could have been, you know, looking around down the table and thinking, I wonder what they're going to do for me today. I wonder what my friends, I wonder if they're going to get me out of being crucified. I wonder if they're going to be able to help me. They're my friends, right? I wonder if they're going to be able to help me to get out of this situation that I am in. But Jesus did the totally opposite. He did the totally opposite. Instead of waiting to see how his friends were responding, Jesus decided to act first. Jesus decided to take the first step, and he began to wash their feet. Why? He did it out of a true, deep, passionate love for them. He loved them. He loved his friends. And we wonder sometimes why we don't have true friendship. It's because we're not willing to get down and wash our friends' feet. Whatever that looks like for us, we're not willing to take the first step, admit that they're wrong or we're wrong, put all that aside and say, for today, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to wash your feet no matter what's going on in my life. Jesus was about to be crucified. And he stopped to wash his friends' feet. That should move our hearts today. It should move us. And I believe Jesus did this for his disciples, for his closest friends, to demonstrate what real friendship is like. and in turn shows true holiness. I can't think of a more holy act of when Jesus was, all this was on his mind, is about to be taken crucified, and he desires. He didn't just want to. He didn't just have to. Jesus desired to sit and eat a meal with his friends. And then he goes beyond and begins to wash their feet. We call it communion. You know, I'll even say this. I've heard a lot of teens and even some adults say that, you know, we do communion once a month, and it just, it becomes a ritual and it becomes a routine. And I tell the kids, that, you know, and we know that communion is reserved for those who know Jesus. But we should never complain of partaking communion because Jesus just desires to share a meal with us. And if our heart behind it isn't right, then maybe we shouldn't take communion. But I want you to know that when we take communion, that we're coming before our God and our Savior and say, Lord, forgive me of the things that I've done. I desire to be holy before you. I desire to be holy for you. I desire to be close to the Father. And so our heart and our mindset should change for communion. We used to do it like once a year, but now, praise God, we get to eat with the Father at least once a month here. And so what a blessing that is. And so next time we have communion, we ought to be able to run down there and be able to partake in something so great and so grand that we're able to sit with our Father and able to share a meal with him because he loves us. Because he loves us. He loves us. In the book of Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 11 to 13, listen to these words. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of the saints. Church, that should move us. That should move our hearts. But I want us to understand what's going on here today. The scripture I just read is Paul is praying for these people to be blameless and to be holy. You ever had someone to pray for you to get saved? To be holy, to live right, mom and dads, pray for your children. That's what Paul is doing here, and he's praying for these people to be blameless and holy before God, for them to love their neighbors, for them to love their friends. And the point that Paul was trying to make is that if you have a true, deep, passionate desire to be blameless and holy, then you have to pray and love everyone. You think Jesus loved Judas? Of course he did. You think it hurt him when he betrayed him? Of course it did. But we have to pray and we have to love everyone. I know that could be easy to preach and hard living, and that can be difficult, but it's just the truth today. It's just the truth today that if we want to have a desire to be holy, if we have a desire to be holy, then we must, capital M, walk in the footsteps of Jesus and love and pray for everyone. If that is not our true heart and passionate desire, then my question is, what are we doing today? We can say that holiness doesn't equal love, but love is sure a massive part of holiness. God is calling us to go deeper than ever before. Listen to me, church. God is calling us to go deeper than ever before. If we narrow down our relationship with Jesus by a Sunday morning or a prayer here and there or taking communion here and there, then it's simply just not enough, church. It's simply just not enough. God desires to be with you and me all day, every day. That's why you pray and you go. That's why you have a prayer closet. That's why you have these things. That's why God has spoke to our pastor to go further and deeper with him than ever before. Why? Because God desires to be close to you, and we should have a desire to want to be close to him. We should have a desire to want to know the Father. Because if you took this piece of scripture and you took love out of this, piece of scripture would mean would be powerless. The power of this scripture comes from the love that Paul had for these people. He had a true desire for these people to be holy, just like God has desire for us to be holy before him. So what did Paul say? He said, increase and abound in love for one another so that he may establish our hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father. Listen to me today. We will become holy in the presence of God and in the presence of Christ if we become the kind of people that God desires for us to be. So what does that mean for us? That means that our opinions really do not matter. If you think drinking is okay, your opinion doesn't matter. If you think pornography is okay, your opinion doesn't matter. If you think all these things, I can sit here for an hour and list different things. If we think that these things, overeating, if we think gossiping, if we think all these things are okay for Christians to do, then we are not having a true desire to be holy. We're not having a true desire to live absolutely holy before God. And so my question for us today is, as a worship team comes, what does it take to be holy? You know, I've been telling the teams over the last couple months that, you know, as I begin to share the theme in my heart, that we cannot just say, Lord, make me holy. But there's a lot that falls under that. We have to do. We have to act. One thing that the Lord instilled in me for my prayer life for myself this year is Lord, make me holy. Lord, make me humble. And I forgot the other one. Where's Amy at? She'll tell me. Lord, make me holy. Lord, make me humble. No, that wasn't it. Lord, make me holy. Lord, make me humble. Wow. I could say it any other time in the world, but it is what it is. Whatever it is, I've been praying for it. And so we come to the end of this service. And we have to ask ourselves, what does it take to be holy? First off, I want you to search your heart. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you have a true passionate desire to live absolutely holy before God? Do you have a desire to be close to the Father? Do you desire to take a meal with our Savior? That is the question that we must first and foremost ask ourselves. Do we have a desire? Do we want to be holy? Because for us to take this step into holiness, to take this next step in having a prayer closet or being a part of a discipleship band, a lot of us are going to be broken. We're going to be broken, but we must be selflessness. We must have a true desire for everyone to come to know who Jesus Christ is. We must submerge ourselves in prayer, submerge ourselves in God's word. I'm not talking about reading here and there. I'm talking about submerging ourselves. It's about going beyond the norm, by going beyond the norm and submerging ourselves in the presence of holy Jesus Christ. We have to realize and accept that the only way that you and I can be holy is if we invite the Holy One to live within us, within our heart, within our life, within our soul. Desiring to be holy will probably bring us to our breaking point. It could possibly be the most difficult thing that you and I could ever experience. But in the midst of the world that we live in, you know, it's even more difficult to be holy with all the stuff that is easy access on our phones and the life that we live in. But God desires, listen to me, God desires. That means he deeply wants to be close to you. God desires for you to be holy. But being holy is only possible when we have allowed Jesus Christ to come into our heart, to save us, to change us, and to make us whole, to make us new. Today, do you have a desire to go beyond the norm and to live absolutely holy before God? That is the question for today. I want you to stand. As they...
During the days and weeks ahead, we certainly encourage you to reach out to your neighbor, reach out to your friend, reach out to your family, check on them, communicate the love of God to them, and certainly in our own lives, in our own daily walk, may it be our goal, may it be our desire to draw closer to Him and live a holy life. God bless you. Have a great week.